You're listening to TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. Today's compelling talk radio, it's the Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com.
Ah, welcome back to the Baum Show. Great to have you aboard. Hope you enjoyed the first hour of the show. If you're just joining us, missed an interesting session on the credibility of officials. We zeroed in on the NBA, where there are a number of questions about the credibility of officials and whether the league is more interested in making money than in some cases doing it right. Eventual answers to come through FBI coercion or what they call dropping a dime on somebody, in which a fellow wants to save some time in the federal country club by ratting out is the word, or telling on others. Who knows what the next chapter of that saga is going to bring. Well, let's turn our attention to sweet memories of youth. Sweet memories of youth. The family car trip in the summer to places known and places unknown.
We're 10 hours from the fun park and you want to bail out. Well, I'll tell you something. This is no longer a vacation. It's a quest. It's a quest for fun. I'm going to have fun, and you're going to have fun. We're all going to have so much fun, we'll need plastic surgery to remove our smiles. You'll be whistling zippity-doo-dah out of your
Oh, yes. Remember those family trips? You were sitting in the back seat. New adventures. Maybe a trip to an uncle's farm. You'd never been to a farm before. And a cow was going to deliver a little calf, and you were scared to death because your aunt and uncle thought, and your parents thought it would be real cool to watch the procedure, watch the calf being born, and all you could go, because you were a city kid. How about a drive through the Smokies, huh? You want to stop and get some moccasins in Cherokee, North Carolina? Not too far from Gatlinburg? Remember those days? Couldn't find the right size. You thought they were cool. They were so smooth, those moccasins. You thought, wow. How about following Route 66? A lot of people did that in the so-called good old days. How about two-laners when four-laners were a curiosity? The two-laners up and down and up and down and up and down. I can remember those when I was a kid. Fruit and vegetable stands? You never washed off the fruit or the vegetables that you got at the stand. They came right out of the garden. You took a plump, ripe tomato and right? Your parents said that was fine because that was okay. If it came from the ground, it was God's work. Or words like that. It was okay. You didn't have to wash it off. Amusement parks. Oh, the stories of amusement parks, roller coasters. As I've learned, there's so many different kinds of roller coasters, and we'll talk about that later in the show. How about the Tilt-A-Whirls? Some people loved roller coasters and were scared to death of Tilt-A-Whirls because of the way they went around. How about cotton candy? Yep, always tasted better at an amusement park. Corn dogs, love them. And my favorite of all when it comes to the family vacations, skee-ball. Do you remember skee-ball? There used to be a nickel a game. But, of course, as I told you, I grew up quite a few years ago. Nickel a game, dime a game. Now they're up to a quarter or half a buck a game. And you get a certain number of tickets for certain scores, and then you take them to somebody at the amusement park to trade them in for something that wasn't worth more than a dime, but you thought it was cool because you had some pretty good scores, huh? How about getting gas at a dinosaur pump? Do you remember Dino the Dinosaur? I don't even know if that company's still around. Sinclair. Dino the Dinosaur Pump. 6 ounces of Coke in a glass bottle from an outside machine at a gas station? Yeah. Huh? How about boiled peanuts? Ever have boiled peanuts? You drive into the South with your folks? How about water parks? How about soft serve ice cream in some places called Creamy Whip? Half chocolate, half vanilla. Always tasted better and always dripped because the temperature was always over 80 degrees, so it dripped on your clothes, on your hands. They got sticky. How about Coney Island? Not just the one in New York, but a number of Coney Islands around the country. Wonderful amusement parks. Grand Canyon. Did your folks take you to Wall Drug in South Dakota? We saw that huge wooden Indian standing outside of Wall Drug. Did you ride horses for the only time during the year on a family trip when you finally stopped somewhere to settle in? And Mom or Dad thought you should all ride some ponies. It'd be kind of fun. You were kind of scared to death because you got the biggest hoss of them all and you'd never had riding lessons. Huh? Catching crappies. Dad wanted to show you how to fish. So the whole family went down. You had to bait the hook, too. And that scared the bejesus out of some people, especially the girls, because they were afraid of touching the little minnows or the worms to put them on the hook. But you caught some crappies and you were real proud because Dad with his J66 Polaroid or a Kodak camera would take pictures of the whole family standing there with a string of little crappies. You put them all together, you wouldn't have an hors d'oeuvre for dinner. How about presidents looking at you on Mount Rushmore? Here's one for you on that family summer trip. Stuckey's. Stuckey's got your attention, didn't I? The pecan roll, or did you call it pecan? Your parents, oh, we have to get a pecan roll. Howard Johnson's. Remember Howard Johnson's? They ain't around anymore. He was the first guy that developed more than two flavors. A flat tire on a busy highway. Ever travel with your folks and always there was a flat tire on a busy highway. You had to take everything out of the trunk. Ugh. How about squirrels and birds cackling on a tin roof rented cabin? How about Dad checking the road maps? Has there ever been a family road trip in the summer where Dad put Mom in charge of the maps? Dad didn't know whether to turn left or right. Mom couldn't make up her mind, made the wrong turn. Dad got angry. So for the first time in a very enclosed area, you heard Mom and Dad go at it. Why? Because Dad said, I put you in charge. And Mom said, I thought you knew the way. How about Mom filling up the cooler with sandwiches and snacks? That was always fun, wasn't it? And the games, counting cars. You ever played that game on one of the family road trips in the summer? Raise your hand. Counting cars. Or, I see something that you don't see. And the color of it is, you play that one? Usually picked white or black, if you wanted to win. How about the drive-by alphabet, A to Z? See something that starts with A? Shout it out. And if you were in the back seat with your siblings, oh, how much fun you had and how you all got along so well on those wonderful summer driving vacations. Susan Sessions Roug is the author of Are We There Yet? The Golden Age of American Family Vacations. Susan, welcome to the Dave Baum Show. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you, Dave. You've really taken us on a trip down memory lane.
Well, it kind of gives you an idea how many years I go back, doesn't it?
A ways to when life was simpler.
Why'd you write this book?
Oh, I was tired of all the bad news about the family, and I wanted to find out what families did to make themselves happy, and I hit upon the idea of the family vacation as a way of looking at the history of the family.
It's interesting to me because you are in real life, outside of authoring this book, you're a professor of history at Brigham Young University. I would assume that the content that you teach college students probably has very little to do with the content in this book?
Oh, you would be wrong there. I teach a class on the history of travel and tourism, and we study the development of the interstate highway system, and we study how people travel, and it's a legitimate academic topic now.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
Go back to school.
All right. So, well, I mean, that is
more
that,
fun than it used
that,
to be.
That isn't one of those, and I know it's not, Susan, but that isn't one of those 2-hour A or B courses that all freshmen or sophomore are told about to take to bring up that overall cum, is it?
It's not a Mickey Mouse class.
Whew, okay.
It's pretty hard, my students would say.
What was the golden age, in your opinion, of American family vacations?
I think the golden age started after World War II, when it became a mass phenomenon, when it was a status symbol. Everybody went on vacation in the summer, and you took your 2 weeks off and packed the car and stopped the mail and were gone for 2 weeks. And then you came back and showed people your slides and told them the great stories.
Was there a reason for all of the traveling? Was it just kind of like the bad news is over, now we can go out and explore? We'll find out how big this country is?
There's some of that, yes. Some of it is just a desire to explore and show the country to the children of those families, the vets that came back from the war, who married so quickly and had those families so quickly. The baby boom is a major reason for the vacation boom. And then 1956, President Eisenhower signed the Interstate Highway Act. Interstate highways were being built. Detroit was rolling cars off the assembly lines in record numbers. The family car, the station wagon, was invented, and that got people on the road.
Well, between the end of World War II, though, and 1956, I would assume that people had to do some very careful planning if they were going to take the best of the two-lane highways on vacation and not travel too far, or were some adventurous and willing to go, like, from East Coast to West Coast, knowing there'd be some planked roads and maybe dirt roads, especially in the West, or vice versa, from West to East.
Actually, after the war, you could travel all the way across the country on pavement by then. The blue highways, as we call them, were developed in the 20s and 30s. They were well marked. And, of course, the service stations, you could go and get a free map. All the maps were free. And the oil companies also would plan your route for you. They had travel agencies. They put out guidebooks. So the oil companies wanted you to buy gasoline, and the car companies wanted you to buy cars, and they all collaborated to sell the vacation.
I hesitate to ask because of current conditions. During this wonderful halcyonic time, what was the price of gas?
The price of gas in 1954 was 28 cents a gallon.
28 cents a gallon.
Pretty low.
Uh-huh.
And motel, you could get for $7 a day. You could take a two-week vacation, and your car expenses would be $50.
Wow. Wow. Families don't do that kind of stuff today, do they?
Actually, the majority of people do travel by car on vacation. It's something around 75%, and it's still the most economical way to take the kids anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's cheaper than the airplane, and especially these days, even though gas is high, it's still cheaper.
Well, it makes me wonder, Susan, and by the way, if you're just joining us on the Baum Show, we're talking to Susan Sessions Rug, the author of Are We There Yet? The Golden Age of American Family Vacations. We've all taken at least one, and I know, I wish I could invite all of you in as callers at 1-888-463-6748, because you all have at least one story you can tell of a family driving vacation that went right or went wrong. But really, you kind of wonder whether or not the gas prices of today and the economy may, Susan, take us back in time.
I'm beginning to wonder that myself. Why not? Why shouldn't we try some of the things that our parents and our grandparents tried? How about taking along a picnic lunch in the cooler? That would certainly be cheaper than stopping for fast food.
Mm-hmm.
What about camping? Camping, even if you have to rent the equipment, is still cheaper than staying overnight in a motel. And or staying with the relatives. That's always a very budget-minded way to take a trip, to drive to where you have some family and can stay.
Would that have to cause a change of thinking if we compared family thinking today vis-a-vis the golden age that you referred to? Would it take a change in thinking?
It might. I think we are having a change of thought. You know, in the 50s, it's what I call the family ideal, the period of family togetherness. Life was about families. Families sold products, families were on the covers of magazines, and that has faded, but I think we may be seeing another little baby boom. When I visit the big cities of America, I see strollers everywhere and parents getting involved. So we may be returning to that.
Mm-hmm. What do you sense in terms of the great family driving vacation? Obviously, with the infrastructure in place, roads are not an issue. But the question is, I don't want to say do this on the cheap, but how do you return to the great days of yesteryear if you got a family of four or five or six, and still do it reasonably today? Can it be done?
I think so. I think it's better than staying home. Family vacations are a place to create memories. You certainly had a lot of memories. I don't know. You probably don't remember growing up and having to mow the lawn or clear the table, but children do remember these memories, and it's worth spending some money to create those memories for them.
Well, thank you for being kind, but I did have to mow the lawn.
But do you remember?
And I'll tell you how old I am. They were just introducing Sunbeam electric lawnmowers. So we had, for our lawn where I lived, we had a hand mower. And so you can imagine the clippings stayed where they lie. And the other aspect was taking out the garbage and washing the dishes. There were those kinds of chores, even when you went on vacation. It was kind of like if when I went on vacation, we took a driving vacation, and we had dinner. Me and my sisters all had chores. I call them chores. We all had obligations that we had to do. I'm not sure the same is true today. Are you?
Well, it ought to be. In those days, of course, there was a work to a vacation, and people... It was a great way to teach children their chores on vacation. Camping was especially good and seen as a way to teach children responsibility. That's how camping got sold to families. So I think, I don't know, my grandchildren have chores, so I think it still is part of life for children to have chores.
Do you think that as we look back on then and now, that moms and dads, because of the kinds of trips we're talking about, these driving trips, and yeah, there was humor, some of the things we've already talked about and that I mentioned in the introduction, that moms and dads were more self-sufficient then?
What do you mean self-sufficient?
Well, they were able to, in a reasonable amount of time, self-contain a 4-day, 7-day, 10-day, 2-week driving vacation. Oh, there were foibles along the way, but they were able to manage it logistically and administratively, maybe better than today.
I don't know. I see some of these parents get on the airplane with their children, and they look like they planned pretty carefully.
But we're talking about a driving vacation.
Oh, I think our parents today are just as resourceful. One thing we want to remember in all our nostalgia is that there was not air conditioning.
Yeah, that's true.
It was maybe hot and sticky, and we also want to remember it wasn't a golden age for everyone. In the age of Jim Crow, blacks could not stay in most motels, and they were turned away from Howard Johnson.
You know, you mentioned that in the book, and I wanted to spend a little bit more time on that. As we talk about the wonderful driving experiences that we had as, at least in my case, as a white kid growing up in middle America. But in terms of the black kid growing up in middle America, or the West Coast, or in the East, or especially in the South, what was that summer driving experience like?
It was a drive in which they were afraid often. And so often they would drive at night so as to avoid trouble. And the parents were worried about the humiliation of being turned away. So they often would carry in their glove box a tourist guide. It was called the Green Guide to Negro Tourism. And it would tell them where they could stay and not be turned away. And Dr. Martin Luther King also talked about this, that children would form a negative idea about their country if they were told they couldn't have an ice cream cone or couldn't go to an amusement park. So I think this was part of the civil rights movement, of these children becoming aware of how they were treated as only part citizens in their own country.
Well, it's interesting to me that what you're saying is a lot of the things that kids like me took for granted on the summer vacation, the stopping and getting an ice cream cone, for example, at a soft serve stand, might not have been available to a black youngster because he or she wouldn't get served.
Right. And what struck me as I did this research is I certainly expected to see segregation in the South, but it occurred through the West and the Midwest well into the 1960s. So it wasn't maybe as widespread, but it was unexpected. You never knew as a black dad, you know, when you'd be challenged in front of your children.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that most whites don't seem to have been aware of.
When did this change? Mid-60s?
It changed in 1964, at least legally, with the Civil Rights Act. The public accommodations were then, by law, required not to turn away people because of race. And, of course, there were court cases and challenges, and I'm sure discrimination did not end, but legally it was challenged.
So there are a whole lot of Americans, and some of whom may be listening to this show on Talk Zone, who, if you get excited in talking about the American family driving vacation in the summertime, would probably tune out or not get excited at all because there was always pressure to avoid problems.
I don't know how much the children were aware of that pressure, and certainly those I've talked to and the letters I've read, they still tried to have a happy traveling time, and I think we just have to admire those people.
Mm-hmm.
For traveling despite the obstacles.
You also make the point in your book, Are We There Yet? The Golden Age of American Family Vacations, that if you had to point a finger at what killed off a lot of these summer trips, it's divorce.
Well, divorce came along with the whole sexual revolution, and divorce, we know, in the 60s was in part a result of those quick marriages in the 40s and 50s, but certainly it was an age of youth revolt, of changing economy so that a dual income family was necessary. Women went to work. It's not that people who divorced didn't keep taking vacations, but it ceased to be the ideal. And we can't forget the 1973 oil embargo. That put a damper on things, too.
Well, it seems incongruous today if you take a look at summer driving vacations that one parent, whether it's the mom or the dad, would take one, two, or three kids on a family driving vacation, in as much as that one parent is probably trying to make it as easy as possible for him or her and the kids as you could have. And a family driving vacation, by definition, was never easy.
Well, the people I've talked to have said that even though their parents were divorced, that their parent did take them on vacation. It's part of being a family and saying, we're a family, even if we have one parent, we're still a family. So sometimes the grandparent comes along or a friend to share the workload. So just because there aren't two parents does not mean there's not a family vacation.
Do you see that turning around? Do you see that, and you're intimating that, do you see that more single parents are trying to recreate, if that's the word, some of those good old days?
Oh, certainly. And all kinds of people. We see the trends of grandparents going along. Latino families especially love family vacations. They're very family-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
People, there's statistics, 1 in 5 American adults goes to a family reunion every year. So family's still a big part of the family vacation.
Well, that was something that I found interesting in that there are a lot of people listening whose summer family driving vacation was to a relative's farm or halfway around the country or another part of the country, and it was a chance for a family to get together maybe for the only time during the course of that year as families started to spread out. Now they're even more spread out. What do you see?
I do see people still trying to stay in touch with family and with relatives. Tomorrow, my children and grandchildren are flying in from New Jersey. It would be too long a drive, we would say today, because we don't have as much time as we used to have. We don't take the 2 weeks. But people are still trying to connect with their roots and with their family.
Now, you just made an interesting point. Don't take the time. If you compared the time taken then versus the time taken today, what do you see?
There's a big change. It used to be that vacations were 2 weeks. Now, today, it's more frequent and shorter trips. And so not all the eggs are in one basket. So people take much shorter trips, maybe 3 to 4 days or maybe long weekends, rather than the long trips of the past.
Interesting, isn't it, Susan, that and I've had this conversation many times on different topics, but what it boils down to, technology was supposed to make more time available, and just the opposite has occurred.
Didn't happen, did it?
No. No. Can you recall a driving vacation you took in which many of its aspects are memorable, either for a positive or a negative way?
I do remember as a child being going up to Yellowstone National Park. The national parks were a favorite place. We rode along in a camper and saw the Tetons, and many people vacation in RVs, or they used to vacation in those Volkswagen boxes, camp wagons. And by the way, Howard Johnson still exists.
Yeah.
So I do remember going to the national parks, and of course, I remember Disneyland. Do you remember Disneyland?
Yeah, I remember Disneyland. I probably have a wonderful memory of a place near where I grew up called Coney Island. Not the New York Coney Island, but a wonderful amusement park that was kind of like a destination, even though it took so little time. Just getting there with the world's largest, as it was billed, the world's largest outdoor swimming pool, and mom or dad making sure that you didn't go into the water after you ate lunch for at least 45 minutes, because if you did, you might contract polio.
Or you might drown, right?
Yeah, but I remember that like it was yesterday, because it was there were all kinds of rules and regulations, but wonderful times, Susan. The name of the book is called Are We There Yet? The Golden Age of American Family Vacations. Susan Sessions Rue is the author, and I appreciate your time today, and thank you for writing the book.
Thank you, Dave. It's been my pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you again. Susan Rue, Are We There Yet? Yeah, I can remember the flat tires, can't you? And at least not my dad. I don't think my dad ever used a cuss word that I can ever recall. He wasn't a religious man, but he never cussed. But I remember flat tires. And these were older cars, folks, and you had to take, you know, the trunks weren't close to the size that some of the cars are today. You have to take all that stuff out, put it on the side of the two-laner, and then grab the spare out and hope that the spare had air in it, because you never looked. Dad had never looked. And take the other one off, and he'd tell you to hold the bolts. It's kind of like the Christmas Story, if you've ever seen that. Asked you to hold the bolts and don't drop any, because if you lose one bolt, you're in big trouble. Coming up, as we continue our look at the golden age of American family vacations, roller coasters. Roller coasters, the best of the past and the present. With the president of the American Coaster Enthusiasts. Why not? It's summertime. Let's talk about roller coasters.